Gaeilge Tá Fáilte Roth, welcome to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Cameron, and we're coming to you live from downtown Ottawa on this bitterly cold night. If you have the car out there, plug it in, you may need to for tomorrow morning. We have a full programme put together for you tonight. We're going to get an update on what's going on for Irish Week. Peter Rock and Cathal Hegarty will be talking to us shortly. And then I have an interview that I recorded with Shane Mitchell of Dervish. Dervish will be down at Library and Archives Canada on the 23rd of the month. And in the latter half of the programme, we will be talking to Leslie Anderson. And Leslie Anderson is with the British Isles Family History Society of Greater Ottawa and also with Ancestry.ca. And she'll be talking to us about a beginner's genealogy course that's coming up on the 23rd, also down at Library and Archives Canada. But as usual, if you want to send me an email, my email address is Austin at the Gaelic Hour. The website is thegaelichour.ca. We do have archives up there, and that's for the Monday night programmes. We have them going back to 2005. The Tuesday night programme is a music programme. And tomorrow night we will be playing the music of love. So if you have any requests that you would like to get in for that, don't be shy. Go on the website. There are forms that you can fill out and you can get that in. I have already had a number of requests, so I think I have still room for six or seven pieces of music to get in. And some of the things that are regular in the city on Monday evenings, and it's over at this stage, but you can learn some Irish, and that's over at, you cannot do the language and the dance, and that's over at Blessed Sacrament Basement at 194 4th Avenue, and that runs at about 6:30. And then every Tuesday from 11 until 2, the Irish Society have a seniors drop-in, and that's at St. Margaret Mary's at Sunnyside in Fairburn. And I'm actually hopeful I might get to drop in there for a few minutes tomorrow, because I have an appointment over that side of the city. And then on Wednesday at 6:30, there's Cultus Set Dance Classes, and they're over at Villa Marconi at 1026 Baseline Road. And don't forget, every Wednesday to Saturday down at the Irish Village, there's always plenty of music. And I see Eric Eggleston is down there this week, as is Dave Anthony, and Monday's Grace, and also the Boys Next Door. And when the Boys Next Door are playing there, that always draws a crowd. And I'm very grateful to the ongoing support I receive from the Irish Village. Without their help, it wouldn't be possible to stay broadcasting. One of the big events coming up this week is on Saturday over at the Heart and Crown on Preston Street. There is a fundraiser. And that is for the St. Patrick's Day Parade. And Peter Rock will tell us about that, as will Cathal Hegarty, shortly. And as I mentioned, Dervish will be down at Library and Archives Canada. And also Mike Burns, who is a Shanachian storyteller, he'll be down at St. Bridget's. That's the Irish Canadian Cultural Centre on Murray Street. And that is on the 23rd at 7:30. But, you know, we are getting close to that time of the year when the Irish get out and celebrate with a parade. So we're going to try and set the mood with, you tell me if you recognise the voice and recognise the piece of music.
I'll be marching along in the big parade on St. Patrick's Day. I'll be up to me neck in shamrocks as I march along the way. I'll swing that old shillelagh as I wave to each colleen. I'll tilt me ear the better to hear the wearing of the green.
Oh, the Kelly's from Killarney, the Murphy's from Kildare.
The Hallahans and Callahans who came from County Clare.
There'll be folks from dear old Dublin all the way to County Cork.
They'll be marching in the big parade right here in old New York. Mayor will be in the big parade, strutting high and grand. And behind him will march 1,000 cops who come from Ireland. Those beautiful songs of Erin, the band will play them all. We'll march along, we're singing the song, the harp will carry us all. Those sons and daughters of Erin, 100,000 strong, will be singing the songs of Ireland as they march along. Their eyes will shine with laughter, their hearts will all be gay, when the Irish all turn out to celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
We'll be marching along in the big parade on St. Patrick's Day. Not for all of the tea in Dublin will I ever stay away.
I'll trip the light fantastic, and how proud I'm gonna feel.
The band will play Go Witcha Go Way, a good old Irish reel.
There'll be Cooney, Mulrooney, and Mickey O'Dowd cutting up capers and pleasing the crowd. Hogan and Rogan will kick up their heels, singing and dancing the jigs and the reels. The Connells, O'Donnells, and Larry O'Toole, Maloney, Mahoney, and Lefty O'Doul. Nibble a man as happy as they on St. Patrick's Day. I'll be marching along in the big parade, twinkle in me eye.
We'll be proud as a thousand peacocks with our heads up in the sky.
I'll be there, you can bet you, when the band begins to play and the Irish all turn out to celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, of course, that was Bing Crosby and St. Patrick's Day. And the Irish Society, of course, are very involved at that time of the year. And I should have Peter Rock and Keo Hegarty out there on the phone. Have I got you guys out there? Hello? 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 Peter, have I got you?
Yep.
And Kay, have I got you?
Yes, you have.
Welcome to the Gaelic Hour.
Thank you, Austin.
And you're sitting probably in the warmth of your home while I come down here in this bitterly cold weather. So you're getting all ready for St. Patrick's Week, or Irish Week and St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, we are indeed.
But before we get to that, I see you have a fundraiser organised coming up on Saturday.
Well, Peter, I think you would like to speak to that. That's the fundraiser.
Yeah, we haven't had a fundraiser before, Austin. We've had the parade for 26 years, and Irish Week for a number of years, but this is just something about a month ahead of time to, like, kick the cat, get everybody awake together, get the teeth going. It can be cold. We got to get together. We have lots of things to do. We need volunteers. We need 120 traffic security people. We need clowns, flatbeds, balloon generators, PA systems. Most of this we have a manager, but it's always nice to get more people and new people. So we're going to have a little bit of entertainment from 2 to 4 down at the Heart and Crown on Preston Street. We're going to have Michael O'Reilly. He's kind of a bumbling Cecil and Delmer Ottawa Valley character. And the Soufe Healy dancers, and we're going to be selling memberships and trying to drum up people to help us.
I see the tickets for that. They're $20, and they'll be available at the door. Are they available from you, Peter?
Correct.
Excellent. But getting on to Irish Week, I notice you have a full agenda planned this year. What's on the schedule?
Well, briefly, we have five big things, and we have another big event that we're sponsoring that's at the new Irish Canadian Cultural Center. I'm not going to go into the menu. If you go to our website, www.irishsocietyncr.com, phone number's there, my phone number's there. I can give it again at the end, but Mayor Larry O'Brien's going to kick everything off on Friday, March 7th at St. Patrick's Home. This will be our 31st year that we've had a luncheon in honor of St. Patrick's Home, and we've raised a great deal of money for them. Gail Gavin plays at that. It's a lot of fun. And our next event is a new event, and Kay's on the air, and she can tell us about it.
Yes, on March the 8th, Austin, the evening of March the 8th, we're having a fundraiser for the Irish Society Seniors Drop-In Center, and we're calling it an Irish Kitchen Party, and that's going to be a fairly lively evening of Irish music, song, and dance with an Irish buffet dinner, and that's going to be held at St. Patrick's Home also, and it's from 6 to 11, and the tickets for that are $25 per person, and the tickets in advance only. We prefer to sell in advance, but of course we will have tickets at the door as well. And the tickets are available from Eileen, who is at 613-226-5527. And Austin, I'd like to take just a very brief moment to talk about the fact that this Irish Society drop-in is going beautifully. And I think we should give credit to the people whose brainchild this was. Pat Scott and Pat Kelly, I believe, were the originators. And they, with Mary Coffey, actually were the people who started that. It was a wonderful idea. And we owe it to them to keep their brainchild, inclusive and a vibrant entity, which indeed it's become. And also, we'd really like to thank the Irish Embassy here in Ottawa. They've given their ongoing support to the drop-in center, and we really appreciate that.
Okay.
This is the first time we've had a fundraiser, And we hope as many people as possible come out to enjoy the evening with us.
Yeah, I see the tickets for that are $25.
The tickets for that are $25, yes.
And I would urge that you do buy in advance, because any event where there is food, it's the chances of somebody making money can go out the door very quickly if the numbers are not right. So if you would like to go to that, I would urge that you do get in touch with the organizers. And there's a link on my website over to the Irish Society website also. As I was saying, Kay, I'm hopeful I can get to drop into you at the drop-in tomorrow. I sneak in, even though I don't know. I would hope I don't qualify as a senior yet. But I have an appointment over that side of the city.
Henri, we love to see you. You're always welcome.
I'm an aspiring senior.
Well, you know, you're the generation that would be carrying this on, hopefully.
I know.
As I said, it was a great idea, and it deserves to keep evolving, you know.
Right. So then I see after the kitchen party, obviously that's going to be a wild affair, because you're looking at 4 days to recover.
Well, we thought we'd give it a little bit of time.
Your next event, I see, is on the 12th, where you have the annual wake.
Yes, it's a custom. The Grand Marshal from the previous year, that's time for him to die now that he's been the great Grand Marshal in the Irish parade. So we usually have a reading of the will and lies and cheats and stealers, and it's a lot of fun.
Right.
And that's on Wednesday.
Right, and that's over at the Mother McGinty's.
Mother McGinty's, right.
Yes, yes. And of course the big day then is Saturday the 15th, where you have the parade starting down at City Hall at 11 a.m. and ending up in Lansdowne Park at around 1.
Right, we do. We have about 60 floats, Austin. It's kind of like a moving street party.
Okay.
We have 6 or 8 bands. We have characters, the Dubliners. We have the Newfoundland... Sorry?
Yeah, the Dub Club.
The Dub Club.
Yep.
The Newfoundlanders, we usually have the Downey family, the Guilfoyle family, entries from Queel, Shawville, Lowe, and the Pontiac. And then it's a big mixture of music. And we're very proud of this. We're bigger than the Christmas parade. The City of Ottawa Police contribute about 30, 36 volunteers. The host charity is the Ottawa Food Bank. Okay. They'll have 50 people out raising money and collecting non-perishable foods. And we'll have 120 people along the parade route to make sure that safety is protected.
And, of course, that weaves its way to Lansdowne Park, where the hooly really gets underway.
Yeah, and that's the pinnacle of our day. That's where we showcase our talent to the City of Ottawa, and we interface with all communities, and this is very well received. At the end of the day, just as we get towards 4 o'clock, all the young Irish dancers get up and take their turns, and everybody's spellbound. Eyes are gazed at this event, and there's almost silence.
And, of course, this year, the parade and the Cultus Culturiarn Ceilidh are on the same evening. So anyone who doesn't get enough over at Lansdowne can weave their way over to the Blessed Sacrament Church on 194 4th Avenue and enjoy the Cultus Ceilidh over there.
True.
So,
can I just add something, Peter? Indeed, if eyes are going to be peeled at those dancers, they're also going to be peeled at that parade marshal on Saturday, don't you think?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Do you think we should break that news now?
Well, I don't know.
Well, have the horse. Does the horse know yet?
Because
I was going to have Austin's bio down to the horses. We're trying to pick out which one he'd be compatible with.
Which bio or which horse?
We're going to use your human one.
Okay. Okay.
And yeah. Could I add one other thing also, Peter and Austin? Just to mention that Irish Society memberships will be available, I guess, at most of the events. Certainly at the post-parade party at the Civic Center, it would be possible to
and the fundraiser.
Your Irish membership there if you would like.
Yeah, I suppose I should fill in the blanks for those that don't know. I've been honoured by being asked by the Irish Society to be the Grand Marshal of the parade of this year, and indeed it is a tremendous honour, and I'm looking forward to the day. I'm sure we will have a lot of fun that day.
Well, you've done a lot for the community, and we want to help all of us work together so we can go somewhere. And just my final comment, Austin, what's happening on St. Patrick's evening is there's going to be a big celebration with the Sufé Healy dancers putting on a special show, music, entertainment all night long at the former St. Bridget's Church, which now is going to be called the National Irish Canadian Cultural Center.
And, of course, Peter, we mustn't forget on the Monday the 17th as well, we have the Words of Distinction Luncheon over at City Hall.
And we'll be praising and awarding the founders of the Irish Canadian Community Center, who are Pat MacDonald, Rosemary O'Brien, Fran Healy, and Pat Kelly.
Yes, indeed. Guys, I'm
and you will be the MC at that event.
Oh, you're letting,
thank you for
you're
that.
Letting the cat out of the bag again. Guys, I'm going to let you get this back in front of the fire, put your feet up, and thanks a million for taking the call and coming on the show here tonight.
Nice talking to you.
Thanks a lot, Austin. Bye-bye.
Bye.
To the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM here in Ottawa, and on the 23rd down at Library and Archives Canada, we have the pleasure of having Dervish coming over from Ireland. And Dervish is a Sligo-based group that have been on the circuit since 1989, and it's a group of five musicians, and one of them is Shane Mitchell, and Shane is on the phone with me at the moment from the other side of the Atlantic. Shane Mitchell, welcome to the Gaelic Hour.
Thanks very much, Austin.
So you guys formed in 1989. Tell us a bit about the group.
Yeah, we're 20 years together, actually, next year. We were formed in 1989. We were then part-time musicians. We were playing sessions in pubs and stuff like that, and we made a recording in 1989. And over a few years then, a couple of years later, we went full-time as a professional group, and the rest of this history is to say we've been touring the world folk roots circuit ever since, and no complaints, as the man says.
To bring it very, very recent, I know you represented Ireland in the Eurovision Song Contest in 2007.
Yes.
That must have been an experience.
Well, I have to say it was definitely, it's one of the best experiences we've ever had now, and it's an honour to represent your country, you know, and for us it was like, it was the very opposite of what we normally do, and, you know, we learned a lot from it, and it was a very positive experience, and it was great in many ways, and of course disappointing in other ways, but, you know, it's we do what we do, and we continue to what we do, and we've other projects lined up over the next few years. But yeah, it's nice to have the odd kind of different project out of the box type thing from time to time, you know.
Yeah, and one of the things I notice about your music is that over the 20-year span, you have embraced quite a variety of styles to integrate into the Irish tradition.
Yeah, well, we're devoted to the roots of Irish music. It was all in our families, and we were reared with it, you know. But I think it's like a vocation we have in life. We have this responsibility of trying to kind of hand it on to the next generation. And, you know, like we don't interfere with the essential nature of the music, but we like to kind of embrace it with various arrangements and different influences. And I suppose, when you've played at as many festivals as we have and all around the world, like, and we've seen some fantastic music, and sometimes unknown to yourself, like, there's influences that come in, like, from Swedish music, from African music, from whatever, you know, but that's all healthy. I mean, it's all about being innovative in your approach to the music while being respectful to the tradition, you know?
I would say probably over the last 20 years while you guys have been in the business, it's been a tremendous time for Irish music globally.
Yeah, it has a huge following all over the world. You know, I'm always asked that question, why is this, you know? It's very difficult to answer. There's something definitely in Irish music. There's a kind of a natural energy, and it's a deep soulfulness about the music. The music comes that we play comes from the pub tradition of sessions. You know, we learned the music like by interacting with other musicians, and you know, it's been a great period, like with different things that's been happening, and I know there's a lot of stuff in the planning for Irish music in the future, and hopefully it'll continue for the next 20 years, you know.
So you guys are starting out, or just started out on a tour. I noticed you're in the UK at the moment for the early part of February, and then heading to North America.
Yeah, we're just over here to do 10 concerts in Britain. Now we used to come over to Britain quite a lot, and we haven't been over for a few years now. And so it's great to be back here, meeting old friends, and the entire concert is sold out. So we're delighted about that, meeting old friends that we haven't seen for years. You know, it's funny. There's a very loyal following for this type of music. It's not the kind of thing that goes out of fashion. And you know, that's one of the nice things about it. One of the lucky things that I think we all appreciate about what we do is like the many great friends we have all over the world, you know, and the great experiences and all that. So we're having 10 great nights. We're in the Gateshead, the stage in Gateshead last night now, and the independent newspaper in Britain voted the concert of the week here in Britain, so that we were thrilled about that, you know. So it was just a great experience. Like last night, Dion Warwick was in the same building as us in another hall. You know, you've always these things, you know. So it's a very, very exciting life, you know.
So on stage with Joe Shane, the rest of the band, tell us who the lineup is.
It's Brian McDonough, it's Liam Kelly, it's Tom Morrow, Kathy Jordan, myself, and Michael Holmes. Complete
and
lineup.
And Brian is on the mandolin. Mandola.
That's right. Mandola, yeah.
And
yeah.
Liam has flute and whistles.
Yeah.
You play the accordion, and Tom is on the fiddle,
right.
And then you have Kathy
That's
doing
right.
vocals.
And Michael on the bouzouki.
Yeah. A nice combination of instruments there.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's very typical to the Irish tradition, you know. They're all regular instruments played in sessions in Ireland, you know. So that's our lineup, you know.
And of course, Kathy is a former All Ireland fiddle champion. From 1991?
Tom.
Who?
Tom Morrow.
Okay, Tom was an All Ireland.
He played the fiddle, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, like, we're really getting the quality coming to Ottawa.
Well, I suppose we're all associated with awards at Irish All Ireland level. That's a long time ago, though.
yeah, but you never lose the touch for something like that.
No, that's it, you know. Yeah, that's it.
So, you guys have been over here before, I understand. Have you ever made it to Ottawa previously?
Oh, of course, yeah. We've done all the big festivals in Canada, Edmonton, Calgary, Quebec, you name it. We were years going out to Canada. We have a huge following out there.
Right.
It's always a good time. We're over at the Edmonton Folk Festival this year again, and As I said, we've just great friends over there, and it's a great place to play. Of course, there's great associations with Irish music, you know, and the, you know, the Canadian music is so similar in ways too, you know, and of course, kind of a lot of it came from Ireland in times past, you know. So, you know, there's a natural bonding there between audience and the band all the time. So, I think definitely Canada would have a little bit of an edge over other places as well, you know.
And your most recent release was just at the end of last year.
Traveling show.
Yeah.
It's done very well for us now. It's done the business back home. We were voted Hot Press Traditional Band of the Year this year. So, after the album came out, so we ended off probably our greatest year ever last year now. So it's great now, and our album's just out here in Britain. So that's really why we're over as well, you know.
That's fantastic, and I know the record has been promoted over on this side. And I'm sure that everywhere you go across North America, it's gaining popularity, that the new one. So when you guys come, you've 2 days in Canada, and I think the rest is in the U.S. You're what, on a 10 or 12-day trip of North America?
3 weeks.
Rolling into St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, well, we won't be in America for St. Patrick's Day now this year. We'll be back in Ireland, you know?
Right.
So we're playing up to the 16th of March now, you know.
Right. So busy schedule. For anyone that wants, it's down at Library and Archives Canada, Saturday the 23rd, and tickets are available from the Ottawa Folk Fest office, and I'll give you the number. And you are listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM. Sean Mitchell, thanks a million for taking time to talk to me, and I'm looking forward
thanks
to
very much,
Austin. Here to Ottawa.
Okay.
Take care. All the best.
And the number to call for tickets for Dervish is 613-230-8234. What you're hearing is Carlin's Concerto, and this is specially for Melita Maher. Melita, happy birthday today, and that was a most fantastic party yesterday. Really enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to being around for the one next year and the one year after and the next God knows how many years. If it was as much fun as yesterday, I want to be back every year. Sit back and enjoy Carlin's Concerto. Now, you did enough dancing yesterday. You are listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Camerton. And mark your calendar for Saturday the 23rd. There is a lot going on, but between 1 and 4 p.m. There's a set dance workshop with Maureen Mulvey O'Leary, and that's down at Blessed Sacrament, 194 4th Avenue. And that is $10 for members of Cultus and $15 for non-members. We'll be back with you after these messages.
The little Irish village in the heart of the Byward Market had its humble beginnings in 1992 with the now famous Heart and Crown, a second venue, the Snug Pub, since 1997. And then there's Mother McGinty's and Roisin Dubh, the Black Rose, since 2001. They complete the Irish village, each a treasure in its own way. Visit the Irish village. We can accommodate groups of all sizes, private seating areas, spacious patios, and party rooms. Tell us about your special event and we will take care of the rest. 613-562-0674.
The Chin Songwriting Competition is back. We're looking for talented local musicians to submit their original compositions. You must register to enter. Get to the phone and call Chin Radio now at 613-244-0979, extension 414. For a complete list of contest rules, click on to chinradio.com and follow the World Music Showcase link. Chin Radio and Carleton University, giving promising musicians the opportunity to vie for cash prizes totaling $5,000. Register now. Call 613-244-0979, extension 414.
From the Great Wall of China to packed auditoriums in the Holy Land, and now to Ottawa for one performance only, Dervish. Right from Ireland at Library and Archives Canada Auditorium, 395 Wellington Street, at 8 p.m. on Saturday, 23rd of February. Dervish, whose musical genius keeps this group as a leading force in Irish music, bringing the world the joy and excitement and fun that is traditional Irish music. Tickets from Ottawa Folk Festival at 613-230-8234 or visit ottawafolk.org.
Leslie Anderson has been involved in the personal research of her family tree for over 35 years, and her passion for genealogy has branched out to teaching, classes, speaking at seminars and conferences, and consulting and doing research for others. She's well known for her computers and genealogy classes offered through the Ottawa Ontario Catholic School Board Continuing Education and her field trips to various archives and libraries. Every other Friday evening, you can catch her volunteering at the LDS Family History Library, where she gets great enjoyment out of helping new and experienced genealogists with their research. Over the past 2 years, she has held the position of Director of Education for the British Isles Family History Society of Greater Ottawa. And she'll continue to provide educational seminars as an Associate Director. You will probably see Leslie on the second and or third floor of Library and Archives Canada as she does her research. And it's a dream job, I know, for Leslie, because she is now with Ancestry.ca. Leslie, welcome to the Gaelic Hour.
Thank you.
And somebody that started out in a variety of other careers, you have found yourself in genealogy. And how have you managed to get yourself from mainstream work into a passion that you wanted to do?
Well, I'm really fortunate in that when I started out, this was very much a hobby, and one that gripped me in its addictive mode, and I got a lot of interest in it and a lot of experience in it at a very young age. I started out, as you know, when I was 14. So I've been doing it for over 35 years now. So I officially and did it through the proper resources since about 21, since I was 21. So I've had an opportunity to be immersed in it for a very long time. And through that, I realized that it just was such a part of my life that I wanted to continue, and I got very good at researching and finding out all the various resources that are out there. And my focus has been on British Isles, and then I got married, and my husband's from Ireland, or his ancestors are from Ireland, and so I widened my range, and then I started teaching classes, and it, of course, got a little bit of money for that and loved it and continued working full-time. And just it just evolved just through the volunteer work and through the networking and just enjoying it and being good at what I do. And through my volunteer position, an opportunity came up with Ancestry, which is a very well-known database in the sky to do your genealogy research, of which I'm very proud to be affiliated with. And they hired me for my experience to acquire more content through libraries and archives across Canada for their website.
When you say to acquire more content, what does that mean?
Well, currently, up on Ancestry, Ancestry has very many different country websites and databases. And that, usually as a genealogist, we look for concrete records, and those records are vital statistics, usually births, marriages, and deaths, and anything in the census, and any parish record, anywhere where we can find our ancestors. So Ancestry has acquired the rights to publish this type of information up on the website for our subscribers. And my job is to find out and look to libraries and archives across Canada for more genealogically valid and interesting content for our websites.
So when you come across something like that, you then have to either get it in some form, electronic format, or have it translated into some form of electronic.
Right, that's correct. And usually we're dealing with information that has been microfilmed in the past and or original documents. Ancestry will take that, the Generations Network is the parent company. They will take that microfilm document and digitize it so that it is available at the click of a button on our website, instead of ordering those microfilms in and getting photocopies of that, or traveling over to Ireland or England or Scotland or behind the Iron Curtain to get those types of records.
I noticed that you volunteer every other Friday down at the LDS Family History Library. The Mormons have always been synonymous with genealogy.
Yes, that's correct.
And have tremendous resources.
Yes, and I was involved, obviously, as a researcher, as a genealogist and family historian. I went to the Mormons and the Latter-day Saints, their genealogical library, and because they have such a wealth of information, they have microfilmed, they've gone all over the world and microfilmed the genealogically interesting resources, the parish records, the vital statistics, and have given lay people and the public access to those records for a very minimal charge. I wanted and used them, and I wanted to give back to the Latter-day Saints, and so I volunteer my services on Friday nights to help out at their genealogical library on Prince of Wales Drive.
Right.
And there are various hours, but yes, as part of their religion and mandate, it is to find their ancestors, and thankfully we are able to tap into those resources.
We're going to get a little bit more local and talk about the British Isles Family History Society of Greater Ottawa. But before we do, I know there's a piece of music that you have a particular yen for and that you like. And that is?
Is that Danny Boy?
So we have Eva Cassidy's version of Danny Boy coming up. And Leslie, when we were preparing this, indicated that it was one of her favorites.
Oh, Danny Boy. The pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone.
Eva Cassidy's version of Danny Boy. Don't forget, I put a playlist up on the website, so if you're looking for the CDs that I take the music from, you can go to the website and just click on the playlist button. And there's also a calendar up there of all the events that are going on, in addition to the archives and the schedule, with links, and the links include a link over to the British Isles Family History Society of Greater Ottawa. You are listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM, and I'm talking to Leslie Anderson. Leslie, that's the first time you heard that version of Danny Boy?
Yeah, it was beautiful. She has a lovely voice.
Yes. The British Isles Family History Society of Greater Ottawa. Tell us about that, and tell us some of what's going on.
Okay, well, I act as Associate Director of Education. I've been with the British Isles Family History Society of Greater Ottawa, or some of us call it BFISCO or BISCO. It is a wonderful society that meets with like-minded genealogists and family historians and people who are interested in coming out to our once-a-month lectures for free, and everybody is welcome to come at Library and Archives in the main auditorium at the second Saturday of every month at 9:30. You can come and take a look and do networking and get some information from our discovery tables. We have very interesting lectures, and I started a program called Before BFISCO. Periodically, we will offer educational free seminars on various subject matter throughout the year. And we are currently looking at setting up, in conjunction with the Ontario Genealogical Society, a beginner's course in genealogy, and that is going to be held Saturday, February 23rd, from 9 in the morning till noon at LAC on 395 Wellington Street. There's lots of parking east of the building, and there isn't a program that we're offering lunch in this case, but we offer this beginner seminar for first steps in your family research.
So what would first steps be? Like, what direction are you helping to point somebody?
Well, it's really to give them a good grounding in how to get started and what to look for in the different major record groups that you really should be looking at as a beginner and as an experienced researcher. So we're starting out with the 7 golden rules. And John Reed, who is our past president of BFISCO, he's an author and a lecturer and an OGS member, will be giving them a good grounding in the 7 golden rules and what to look out for when you do your research. I'll be offering a component on census records. Census records are very important when you're trying to locate a family group, and it will give you an immense amount of information in one place. So I will be focusing on that. Civil registration is also discussed, and civil registration meaning your birth, a marriage, and a death record by the government.
Mm-hmm.
And the civil registration and census records that we're talking about are both for the British Isles as well as Canada and Ontario.
Okay.
So you're getting both.
So you're getting the benefit of people that would have immigrated over a period of time, so you're able to pick up where something left off.
Exactly. And then we're going to finish it off with local resources, so the beginner in the Ottawa area will know where to go and where to tap into this information locally, such as the Family History Center, and Terry Finley, who is a lecturer and the former director of the FISCO Conferences and Programs, will be giving a wonderful seminar or a component of our beginner seminar on those local resources and where to look.
So how many members are involved, or how many people kind of does BFISCO attract?
We get a good, out on a Saturday to our lectures, we get a good, at least 100 people, 150 people, 200 people coming out on a regular basis on our monthly lectures.
Yeah, because I remember last year going over when there was an Ontario one that was over in the West End, and there were hundreds of people in town for
that.
It certainly seems to be a very vibrant community.
It sure is, and we really get great feedback and a lot of support from our members, and we hope that people do come out and get a taste for what our society has to offer, and then become a member and therefore a volunteer in the society. We're always looking for volunteers, and as part of our annual, we try to offer a conference every year in September at the Library and Archives, of which we are doing it this year. We're offering our 14th annual BFISCO conference on September the 19th to 21st, and it's just working out to be a fabulous conference this year. And we will be offering, we started out with a beginner's course that's coming up in a couple of weeks, and then we're doing, for the first time, next steps. So we're concentrating on intermediate level types of records at that course.
If I remember, at your conference last September, you had Katrina Crowe over from the National Archives in Ireland.
Yes, that's correct.
And she was, at that stage, I remember talking about the digitization process that was going on relative to the census in Ireland for 1911.
Yes.
And that project, I know, has progressed on to where Dublin is now available online.
Yes, and that's the 1911 census of Ireland, and they started out with Dublin, and that is just a fantastic opportunity for researchers to research for free online and get the original householders' returns, which we've never seen as Canadians, and even working with previous British censuses. You will see the enumerator's remarks and the return in the enumerator's hand, but never the original householder. So this is just so fascinating.
It's fascinating in every respect, because in 1911, of course, Ireland was a 32-county jurisdiction. So this will mean that any records that come in are not just for the 26 counties. So I understand while Dublin is up now, Kerry is the next county that is due to go up.
Yes,
And actually, one of the interesting is, well, my name is not that usual, but I did a search in Dublin and found that there was a Cumerton on a ship in Dublin, from Carlow, and a ship in Dublin on the night of the census.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So it was 19 years of age. And, of course, the details, you do actually, as you say, you see the census form, and it specifies whether someone can read or write, whether they're able to speak Irish or English, and what religion. And in the case of the household, because it wasn't relevant in that case, I understand it defines the rooms, the condition and all that. It's very, very detailed and completely searchable, which is fantastic. So when you're talking digitization relative to ancestry, is it that level of detail as well that is searchable on all different aspects?
Well, it definitely depends on the item, but let's say a birth or a marriage or a death record, a vital statistic. All you have to do is go up to Ancestry's website, type in a name, and you'll get a variety of records back that could include census. It could be the vital statistics. It could be a directory or something like that. So
skip it. So leading on then from what you have studied and what you've been doing, where do you see this bringing you in your own case? Like, have you been able to trace back your own family? How far back have you been able to go?
Well, as I said, I started when I was young, and that was my own personal family, and that's British. That's
right.
All English. And I've traced the female and the male sides of all of the ancestors back to about, I would say, generally about 1700s.
Right.
And I've been able to visit the farm. I'm the first Canadian, and maybe that's why I got so passionate about it. I'm the first Canadian in our family. And so I've been able to visit my ancestors through census and through the parish records. And then when I married my husband and thought, oh, great, I'm going to research a Canadian family, very quickly I got tapped into the Irish side. And if anybody's interested in researching Ireland records, they obviously should have heard that the records office burned to the ground.
Yes.
In 1922. So it is a bit more difficult to get back beyond 1800, to be honest, in Ireland.
And I know that there were other records in Ireland that were unfortunately burned deliberately, which was very, very unfortunate.
And it does happen to be the census that they deliberately destroyed. So. So it's a bit of more of a challenge, but certainly interesting. And I would suggest anybody who is interested in Irish records to at least go up to the National Archives of Ireland, take a look at the existing census that they've got up there, and it just even gives you the life and times of a typical Belfast people of Belfast. So it's just fascinating.
Leslie, we're going to. The clock is ticking, and time flies, particularly when you're dealing with something that's fascinating, and it is fascinating. I want to thank you for taking the time to come into the studio and talk about your passion. And I would urge anybody that is interested to go on my website, and you'll find a link over to the archives in Dublin, and you'll also find a link over for BFSCO if you want to register for that conference and beginner's course on the 23rd. If you have any interest in tracing your family tree or anything like that, it's certainly something well worth doing. So Leslie, as I said, thanks for coming in. You have been listening to The Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Cummerton. I will be back with you tomorrow night with a program filled with music. Do come back and join me. And if you do have any requests that you'd like to get in that have love in the atmosphere or love in the air, Austin at The Gaelic Hour. The website is thegaelichour.ca. Max is on the other side of the glass. He's looked after me very well tonight. Thanks a million, Max. And Max hosts the Haitian program that comes up afterwards, and he is here 7 nights a week putting out a wonderful program to the Haitian community. Thanks, Max. So from Austin Cummerton here on Chin 97.9 FM, until tomorrow evening, slán go fóill.